Blog Talk Radio.
It has been 50 years since the game of the century in 1966, a 10-10 tie against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Both teams would later go on to win the national championship, split the national championship. And now the Spartans and Notre Dame are renewing a rivalry after taking a couple-year hiatus. With me today, Ryan McCumber is going to help me talk about that game. And we will obviously preview the game that takes place this Saturday night at 7:30 on NBC. Ryan, one of the more interesting things that I've noticed about this game really has nothing to do with the game. Mike Tirico, he's going to be calling it. And I think that's a little bit interesting because he has kind of developed some sort of rapport or fondness of the Michigan State program under Mark D'Antonio, and now he's working for Notre Dame, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to listen to him. I'm going to be at the game, but it's going to be interesting for people that are viewing the game to listen to what he has to say, because I think that he usually does a good job. So, but it might be a little bit different with him on NBC covering Notre Dame, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that fondness like helps negate some of the Homer commentary that you tend to get from the NBC broadcast of the game. Anyways, we'll get to the meat of it here in a second. Later on in the show, Sean Dyers, who hosts the debuting show, the WSBT Sunday Huddle down in the South End and the surrounding areas, he's going to join us to talk a little bit more about Notre Dame. The Sunday Huddle can be heard in South Bend on 96.1 WSBT, or can be streamed wherever on WSBTradio.com. And Ryan, man, I know you know this, but I'm producing that show. Do you realize how insufferable it's going to be to have to listen to him go on and on about Notre Dame should the Irish walk away with a victory? This is our first show together, and I don't know if it's going to go that well.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. I mean, like I said, I'm going to be down there, so I'm interested to see how the Irish fans act. I've never been to Notre Dame before, so it should be interesting to see how it goes.
I've been on campus a couple of times, and, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a nice campus, but I'm not necessarily a big fan of their fans. I mean, in the studio that I work at, there's a sales area, and they have, like, numbers written down of how the sales reps perform. And they're written down on Notre Dame Fathead. So to see that little leprechaun, there's like six or seven of them in the sales pit right outside the studio that I work in mornings. And so I'm ready for this game to be over. I'm ready for the talking to end, which, given the fact Notre Dame's kind of backed out of any rivalry with the Big Ten, it's a little surprising how serious they're taking it. Obviously, it is a top 20 team, so that helps. Let's get to some of the stuff that is on our mind, is on the presses or whatever, as far as this game goes. I think the most surprising thing to me when you look at the depth chart, obviously things are still moving around. It is early in the season. And I know you're all right with it. I know Mike was all right with it. And I know that the numbers look good for Andrew Dowell. 8 tackles, an amazing interception, one that helps field is sold on him over John Reschke. And I feel like he did great against the triple option. You need to beat that up ad nauseum last year after the Air Force game. But against Furman, I felt like he was getting sucked in a little bit too much. What is your thought on that position battle?
I think a lot of it might have to do with it, because apparently Reschke missed a couple weeks of preseason camp, and obviously he didn't play 2 weeks ago against Furman. That might have something to do with it. I'm okay with either one starting. I think they're both great players. Linebacker is probably the deepest position that MSU has across the board. Personally, I don't have a problem with it. They're probably going to rotate them back and forth, but yeah, I thought it was a little bit interesting to see Dowell in front of Reschke, but when you look back and think, he missed two weeks of preseason camp and didn't play against Furman 2 weeks ago, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to turn into a Norman John Mish type scenario as far as Chris Norman or Andrew Dowell in this case will be playing more against spread type teams, while John Mish, or in this case John Reschke, will play more against the power teams like a U of M.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that Dowell and Reschke are more talented than Norman and Mish were, but yeah, I think that's
right.
Pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about their talent over John Mish however you want, but they'll never do as well as he did on Survivor. I can tell you that much right now. Let's stick with the linebackers. Ed Davis, he's expected to make his debut, even though he's missed well over a year with both the injury and then awaiting word on if he graduated, and now he's got to try to get back into football shape. And we saw how big of an issue that was for Delton Williams last season. What type of role do you see him playing in this game? Because people are anticipating that, oh, he's just going to come in and he's going to turn this defense into the 2012 or 2013 Spartan Dogs. And I don't see him being much more than a pass rusher when he comes back.
I agree with you. I think he's going to be a third down rush the passer situation like he was in 2013 most of the time. It's going to take him a couple games to get him under his feet, but I think he'll be good to go. Once you know you get to the heart of the schedule with U of M and Ohio State later on, but to start out, I see him more of a third down rush the passer type of deal.
Yeah, and I mean this game, when you look at the importance of it, you talked about Michigan and Ohio State, so let's kind of look ahead and look into our crystal balls. I don't think that I think that this game carries a lot more importance than people realize. A lot of people talking, hey, Michigan State can afford a loss to Notre Dame and then go on and make the college football playoff. You saw Ohio State and Virginia Tech do that. But what if Notre Dame goes undefeated the rest of the way now that they have a quarterback? Now that they have a quarterback obliged to take Notre Dame, especially when you look at the money that both schools would bring in for the college football playoff. And so I think this game carries a little bit more importance than a lot of people realize.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think it's an end-all, be-all game for MSU season, but this is a game, like you said, if Notre Dame goes undefeated the rest of the way and MSU goes undefeated the rest of the way, I think they take Notre Dame over MSU just due to the head-to-head battle. But, yeah, MSU wins this game. I really think this team can actually have a really good shot at winning the Big Ten title, because if you can go on the road, beat Notre Dame, with a huge turnover on both lines, a new quarterback, and a ton of new wide receivers, this team's in pretty good shape, I think, to compete.
And you look at, obviously, there's other situations in the Big Ten that need to take place. Nebraska, they've looked pretty good in their first couple weeks. They play host to Oregon, and then, obviously, you got the Ohio State Oklahoma matchup. Ohio State's got a very good chance to knock the Big 12 off playoff contention if they can shut down Baker Mayfield and company. Let's look at Michigan State's offense, because I think that that's where the focal point has been when you talk about the Spartans thus far, and then you also look at Notre Dame's defense, and the focal point has been in their defensive backfield. Tyler O'Connor, he didn't take a lot of shots downfield. There weren't a lot of deep things, deep routes run by the receivers against Furman. There wasn't a lot over the middle. It was all kind of off to the side, 5 to 15 yards. Any more shots to try to take advantage of it? Or do you see him still getting kind of eased into the system?
I think he'll take a few shots. I don't think it's going to be like if you have Connor Cook playing quarterback and almost half of your throws are downfield, but I think he'll take some shots. I mean, Notre Dame's missing four guys in their secondary, which we'll talk about in a little bit more. And I think that you got a guy like Medeiros, who I think showed a little bit 2 weeks ago. I think he's a guy who could be a downfield threat. You got Donnie Corley. Obviously, he's just a true freshman, so it'll be interesting to see how he reacts going to his first big game on the road. But, yeah, I think you'll see some shots downfield. I don't think it'll be a plethora of them, but you'll see four or five, I think, at least in the first half, just to test their secondary out.
All right, and we're going to take a look at Michigan State's defensive backs here in a second, but right now we do have Sean Stiers with us. Like I said earlier, he is the host of the WSBT Sunday Huddle down in South Bend. Sean, hey, thanks for coming on and helping us take a deeper look at the Irish today.
No problem.
All right. Well, let's dive right in. Kaiser, the numbers have been there, and it is early in the season, but if he can keep this up, and if Notre Dame finds themselves having a successful season, I think he can find himself in the conversation for the Heisman. Has the competition been a part of his success, and can he sustain a level of play similar to what he has thus far, especially when you look at a Michigan State defense that was ranked in the top 25 last season?
Yeah, I think the competition helped him at least to some degree. I mean, when you go to any big school, whether it's Notre Dame, Alabama, wherever it happens to be, Michigan State, obviously, you know, there's going to be competition for the starting jobs, especially at quarterback. But obviously, Deshaun, last year when Malik Zaire went down, he took off and very quickly exceeded, I think, any expectations anybody had of him. You know, so he showed last year that he could do it without Malik Zaire necessarily pushing him. To your second question about, you know, the competition and whether or not he can keep it going, I think he can, but this is obviously defensively going to be the biggest test and probably will be one of the two biggest tests, Michigan State and Stanford, that he and the Notre Dame offense are going to face all season. So there's a lot resting on this game for both Kaiser and the team as a whole, I think.
Hey, Sean, this is Ryan McCumber. I was wondering how you think MSU's defensive line matches up against Notre Dame's offensive line.
Well, you know, I guess from the Notre Dame perspective, the three position groups that I'm looking at the most this week are the offensive line, the defensive line, and the secondary, excuse me, for the Irish. Because, you know, I think that with just basically 1.5 starters, 2 starters coming back, whichever way you want to look at it, for Notre Dame on the offensive line, I still think that, you know, we thought that the line was going to be one of the biggest strengths that this team had this year. But when you look at it so far, it's kind of been a puzzle. Quentin Nelson on the left side at guard and McGlinchey, they've been okay, but they both had their problems. Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, has had a long track record of developing these guys and basically plugging and going. Regardless of losses, they've been able to plug and go and kind of keep the thing moving. But so far, you know, I don't think that they've been nearly as good as what they thought that they would probably be, especially going up against who they've gone up against so far. I mean, Texas defensive line, that was supposed to be a weakness. The first possession or two, Notre Dame came out, really looked like a dominant offensive line, but they had their struggles throughout the course of the game. And then ditto against Nevada. There were times where they looked pretty good, mostly in the second half, but there were a lot of other times, you know, where they didn't look as good. So I think that's a real question mark going into this game is just how well the Irish offensive line can stand up against the Spartans.
Yeah, a lot of the preseason publications, they had Notre Dame as the best offensive line in the entire country. I think that's going to be one of the key matchups when you look at Saturday's contest. Again, Sean Stiers of WSBT Sunday Huddle, he's with us right now. You know that this question was coming. Notre Dame, they're beat up in the secondary. I know at least one cornerback spot is at least on option number 3 as far as what their preseason depth chart looks like. I'm not too sure about the depth elsewhere with the injuries, the suspensions that have taken place. But from the very little that we've seen from Tyler O'Connor, can even a game manager-type quarterback like him take advantage of the secondary with the young receivers that he has surrounding him?
Well, I think that's where they're going to have to, you know, because, again, there are some questions with the Irish defensive line. Again, you know, this will be the best offensive line, I think, that they've faced so far. Both lines are going to be the biggest challenge that both – you know, lines of face so far. But the secondary is the true weakness of not just the defense, but the entire team. I mean, when you looked at it in the spring, Notre Dame should have had Cole Luke, Devin Butler, Max Redfield, Drew Tranquil as cornerbacks, safeties, and then Nick Watkins backing up the corners, you know, coming into this game, and then Sean Crawford as, you know, at least a nickelback, if not a starter. But right now all they have is Luke and Tranquil left in that group for various reasons. And so, you know, again, to answer your question, yeah, I think they're going to take shots. They're going to have to take shots downfield. That's been an area that both Texas and Nevada have been able to take advantage of. Nick Coleman, again, you know, another youngster, but both Texas and Nevada have gone right after him, and they've had big success with big pass plays, a 44-yarder by Nevada last week against Coleman. So I think, yeah, they're O'Connor's going to take shots, and he's going to have to take shots at the Notre Dame secondary. And, you know, if they come up with a couple big explosive plays, I think that'll go a long way in this game.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for O'Connor in that regard isn't necessarily trying to out-muscle Notre Dame through the air, but at least try to keep pace with Notre Dame's high-powered offense. Michigan State's defense, they've still got some questions that need to be answered. When you look at this series, Brian Kelly, he's kind of had Mark D'Antonio's number, which is really impressive when you think about it. Only other guy who's really had D'Antonio's number like this has been Nick Saban at Alabama. Even D'Antonio's taken it to Urban Meyer a few times. What is it about Kelly that has kind of given him the edge in the first few meetings?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, if you look at it even further beyond as far as Kelly and the matchups that he's had pretty good success against both Michigan State and Stanford, especially when those teams are ranked in his 6 years at Notre Dame. And, you know, again, there are questions that the Irish have specific to this year's team, but I think the biggest reason has to be, by and large, especially since 2012, Notre Dame has been strong in the trenches, where we've talked about the physicality teams like Michigan State and Stanford have. They've been strong in the trenches, and the offense that Notre Dame runs, their version of the read option spread, whatever you want to call it, they're able to throw off Michigan State, I think, just enough to get the job done, because they've all been close games. But, you know, the last win was that little Giants play a few years back there in East Lansing, you know, the last win for Michigan State. So I think that's it. Notre Dame has managed to be strong in the trenches, you know, get some shots downfield. Obviously they had a lot of those pass interference penalties that went their way the last time these two teams met a few years back. And so that to me is it. Notre Dame has been strong enough in the interior, and they've been able to do just enough offensively to manage some wins.
And when you let's kind of talk about the history of this rivalry. Obviously, this year it's 50 years since the game of the century. Notre Dame also has two other games of the century since then, and they've kind of bumped Big Ten teams aside to accommodate their ACC tie-ins, playing five ACC schools a year. Does Notre Dame, do the Irish fans, do the players and coaches look at this as a rivalry the way that Michigan State does? Or is this something that, no, they've got USC, they've got the Stanford, occasionally they'll play Purdue's and Michigan's and everybody else. Do they view it as highly as Michigan State does?
I think from a fan standpoint, I don't think so. And, you know, when the Michigan series ended a few years ago, and I did some other interviews and said at the time, you know, the Michigan State and Purdue series actually had a lot deeper roots than the Michigan series, because it's been off and on forever. I mean, they've only really comparatively played at Michigan a handful of times, but because Michigan has traditionally been kind of like Notre Dame, that marquee brand name across college football, that got more attention when the Michigan series ended. But and specific to what you said, no, I don't think from a fan standpoint that it has quite the cachet, because it does start with USC, and then, you know, after that it does go to Michigan, even though they don't necessarily play every year. But I think from the player and the coaching standpoint, you know, I know Michigan State has Notre Dame's attention. I mean, Charlie Weiss made that comment a few years back that he was never going to lose to Michigan State again on his watch. It didn't quite work out the way that he wanted. But, you know, Michigan State has Notre Dame football, as in Brian Kelly and the coaching staff and the players. It has their attention. But just because of the nature of Notre Dame, I think you can pick out just about any team that plays Notre Dame a lot. And that game is always going to mean more to the opponent than it's going to mean, you know, to Notre Dame and to the fan base itself.
All right, we'll let you go with this. Give us a prediction. What happens on Saturday night?
Oh, predictions. What good are predictions? I mean, we can sit here
and
make predictions.
It's all fun and games.
Until the cows come home. What difference is it going to make? Because come Sunday, and that's, you know, Sunday, WSBT Sunday Huddle, 11 to 12:30, by the way. Shameless plug. You know,
I've been plugging it.
That's where we'll find out how good the predictions are. You know, the cop out is what it is. I mean, I really wish that I knew, because the areas that you have to look at for Notre Dame: offensive line, defensive line, secondary. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what this team is. What's the identity of this Notre Dame team? And I don't know, you know, and I think we're going to either find that out or we're going to be grasping for straws by the time Saturday night's game is over. I think it's going to be a close game either way. You know, that's the best I can tell you. I think it's going to be a touchdown either way. We don't have enough body of work yet from Michigan State to really even know what they are, because, you know, they played Furman in their opener and then didn't play last week. And Notre Dame has enough questions that I don't know what they are. But what we know about this series, I just think it's going to be a touchdown either way. So that is the best prediction I can give you right now.
Yeah, and that was Sean Stiers of WSBT Sunday Huddle, which debuts this Sunday at 11 on 96.1 WSBT in the South Bend and surrounding areas. If you don't get that, you can stream it online. WSBTradio.com, as he will recap Saturday night's game. Hey, Sean, thanks for coming on, and I hope I'm in a better mood when I see you on Sunday than you are.
Right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thank you.
All right, take care.
Again, that was Sean Stiers with WSBT Radio. Ryan, I think we talked about Notre Dame secondary, but Michigan State is also going to be a little bit of the focal point with the way Notre Dame spreads the ball around. You look at what Kelly did in 2013. Tommy Rees was 14 of 34 that game. But there were at least three, up to five, questionable pass interference calls. Helped him move the ball, even though it was the no-fly zone. It was the best group of defensive backs I think that college football has seen in a little bit of time. Darquez Denard, obviously, senior year at that point. Isaiah Lewis looked phenomenal as a junior as well. Can this year's group, can Darian Hicks, can Tyson Smith, if he gets in the game, can Deontay Copeland, Monte Nicholson, Demetrius Cox, can they do enough to shut down a quarterback that is much better than Tommy Rees? Because DeShone Kizer has a 71% completion percentage, and it's not exactly all bubble screens. They are whipping it down the field.
You know, that's a great question, and I really don't know. I think that this secondary has a lot of potential. I think that Deontay Copeland has potential to be a shutdown cornerback. I think Darian Hicks, a lot of people get on Darian Hicks, but I thought he played okay against Furman. I mean, he was trying to turn his head on a couple of those plays.
Caliber corner, because he's usually in the right spot. Corners will get beat with Michigan State's team, but Darian Hicks is usually in the right spot to make the play. He just doesn't.
Right. I watched some film on him from the Furman game. It looked like he was actually trying to turn his head. He just didn't get it around quick enough, which is his problem most of the time. I think that he can be a solid, you know, second team, third team, all Big Ten cornerback. If he, like you said, turns his head, I think Monte Nicholson, I've been on the Monte Nicholson bandwagon since he got to Michigan State, and he disappointed me last year, but I think that's a guy who's got all-world athletic ability, I think that he can be solid at the safety spot. I mean, you got Cox over there. He's a much better safety than he is a corner. But my issue is I don't want to see how Torrey Hunter Jr. does coming back from a concussion from the Texas game. He didn't play last week. I'm interested to see that. Notre Dame's got a pretty fair share of solid wide receivers. So this is going to be a big test for MSU secondary, but I think they can hold. They can somewhat slow down Kaiser. I don't think they're going to completely shut him down, but I think you can slow him down to an extent.
Yeah, that I think is the key factor when you look at this game. All right, so we know how Sean feels about predictions, but you know what? We're going to offer ours up now. I know that our prediction piece, where you can get every iSports MSU writer's opinion of how the game is going to go, is going to be posted tomorrow morning. But, Ryan, hit us with yours right now.
I've got Notre Dame winning a close game. I think it's going to come down to probably the last drive. I think it's going to be 28-24, Notre Dame will win.
I just don't think that the backs from Michigan State, that they can – I think they can slow down Kaiser compared to the competition level that he has played so far, but I don't know if they're going to be able to stop him, especially when you look at the fact he is able to run, so that pulls the linebackers out of their zones a little bit more. Furman was able to nickel and dime Michigan State. They were destroying the Spartans in the time of possession battle until Michigan State tried running it. Sean brought up some good points that Michigan State will be able to punch them in the mouth a little bit, but I think they're going to be able to stay on their feet. I don't know if they're going to be able to do enough to carry it on. I think Notre Dame just takes advantage of Michigan State's secondary more than Tyler O'Connor takes advantage of Notre Dame's very beat up, very thin secondary. I got Notre Dame in this one 31-20. Again, that does it for us today. Be sure to check back Monday for our recap of the Notre Dame-Michigan State game. Thanks again to Sean Stiers, WSBT Radio, coming out. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.